Brad Treliving joins us, GM of the Calgary Flames. Brad, good afternoon. Thanks for being aboard and congratulations.
Thanks very much. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing well. You know, at the beginning of the season, Brad, I felt bad for you when everyone was predicting that Calgary was going to be in the McDavid sweepstakes. I felt bad for you around trade deadline when you made the announcement that Mark Giordano wouldn't be available anymore for your organization. But now that you've beaten the Vancouver Canucks, advanced into the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, Brad, I don't feel sorry for you anymore.
Well, it's you're right. Going back to September there, there probably wasn't a lot of people expecting much out of this team. And I think it's really the credit goes to the players and the coaches, quite frankly, in terms of building a belief system. And I think, listen, there's lots of things that we need to improve upon, but belief is a real powerful thing. And you've seen it throughout the year and throughout this series against a really good Vancouver team. And, you know, our guys, they have a belief. They have a belief in themselves. They have a belief in one another. And that's got us to this point.
Brad, you know, we were in Penticton at rookie camp. And all eyes were on Sam Bennett. All eyes were on Johnny Gaudreau. Not many eyes on Michael Ferland. Could you have thought that those three kids would be on your roster in late April and making a difference?
Especially early on, you guys know what it's like with young players. It's everybody develops at a different timeline. I really, coming in here, I was real adamant that we weren't going to rush people into jobs here, or rush people into the league. You know, each has had sort of a different path. You know, Johnny's season's been well chronicled. We all knew he had special skill. It was going to be a matter of how long it was going to take to transition from the college game to the pro game and all those types of things. Sam was, you know, he had a great camp. I mean, he was sour at me because I told him right all along that, you know, it's a tough league for any young player, especially 18-year-olds. Obviously, he had the shoulder injury, had surgery, came back, but to have an impact that he's had in the playoffs, I don't think anybody could have predicted that. And then Michael's a real interesting guy. You know, Michael, even going back to junior, this guy's got a unique skill set. He had a good camp for us. At times was dominant in the American League, had a real dominant start, and then, you know, plateaued out. But he more than anybody. We talked to the group about, you know, the regular season's when you get paid, but you can make a name for yourself and build a reputation in the playoffs, and I think he started to do that in the first round.
Brad, we talked about it a little bit earlier in the show, but whoever scored the winning goal was going to be loved and going to be a hero. But how special or more special was it that it was Matt Stajan?
Yeah, that's a real good point, Scott. Like, he's, a lot of our younger players get talked a lot about here over the course of the season and even into the first round. I don't think our veteran players get the credit that they deserve. And Matt Stajan, in particular, he's been such a leader for us. You know, he's one of the guys we turn to when we go through some adversity to calm our group down. I mean, I always kind of whisper in his ear of just making sure the guys are ready and keeping an even keel with things. And then, you know, so he's played a really important role for us in that regard. And then, you know, everything that him and his wife have dealt with over the last year, it was fitting. To me, it was fitting. It was deserving, but it was fitting that he would score that goal. And we're, you know, obviously real happy for him.
No, the other part of this is that, and you and I have talked about this through the season, is that Bob Hartley seems to have done an amazing job picking the right goaltender at the right time. Mm. And guys go on streaks, whether it was Ramo or Hiller or even Joni Ortio at a point. So you have to be truthful now. Is it by Ouija board? or how does he decide which goalie to go with for a certain... I mean, and every time he says, it's my gut. I go with my gut. But he's been able to pick the right goalie most of the season and to make the change at the right time, too.
Yeah, no question. I mean, coming into the year, we really felt one of the strengths we were going to have is goaltending. And, people that follow the team last year saw that the end of the year that car he had, and then bringing Jonas in, who's a veteran player, who's been through, you know, the grind in the Western Conference, has been through playoff rounds. And then even Yoni Ortio has come up and given us some, you know, at a critical time in our season, Yoni Ortio was excellent for us. So, yeah, that's Bob's done a really good job, and Jordan Sigalet, our goaltending coach, in terms of preparing the guys. You know, it was interesting in the game the other night because Bob stated after, I think, you know, listen, Jonas was outstanding for us all series, and to me was the key for us winning that series. And, you know, Bob mentioned after this wasn't the case in game six of Jonas being bad. I think it was a funny start. We actually really liked our start. It was one of the better starts we had in the series. And all of a sudden we looked up, we're down 3-0 or 2-0. And, so I think it changed momentum to just try to give a little bit of a shock, a different look. And, you know, the other part of that is Kari came in and played really well, mm-hmm. And made some big saves. So, yeah, we count on everybody, and that goes from goaltending on out.
Brad, once upon a time, if you saw the second goalie, number two goalie, in a series, it meant bad things. But now with your team, and we've seen it with other teams in the postseason, two goalies being the norm and both playing well, is there a different mindset now for coaches and teams?
It's funny you bring it up because we were actually talking about it the other day. I mean, you go through all the series, and I think there's only a couple that – I mean, it's funny. Both teams that clinched the night we clinched, us in Chicago, both teams played, you know, both teams had two goalies in the net that night. So I don't know what the answer is, guys. I do think, you know, the grind of a season, you know, the old days of saying one guy's playing 75, you know, I think you need two goaltenders now. And, you know, in our particular situation, and Bob stated all year, it's not, you know, listen, we've leaned on Jonas a large portion of the year, but Kari's come in and given us really good stretches. I just think you see it now where, you know, as much as you need four lines and six defensemen, you need two goaltenders. And, you know, the travel, the scheduling, I mean, it can be a grind. And so physically, mentally, I think it allows you to be fresher in the position, if you will. You know, that's sort of my take on it. I don't necessarily know why, but you go throughout the league and almost that mentality of it's, you know, you're not just going to lean on one guy. If something goes wrong, or if a guy's having a tough night, or if you need to change momentum, people have moved to another goaltender quicker probably than years past. But I think it's also a show that there's depth of the position throughout the league. You know, the old days of saying the backup, you know, there's a backup and he's not going to see the ice for 2 months. In today's game, I just don't know if you can do that. You know, you need depth, and, you know, that counts for your whole lineup, and we're seeing it now even at the goaltender position.
Brad Treliving joins us. Flames general manager, they're off to face off against the Anaheim Ducks in the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. I don't know that Yuri Hudler ever has another 75-point season, Brad, but I do know this. When players struggled on your Flames squad this year, it seemed as if Hudler had the Midas touch, and anyone that played around him instantly got better. A thought or two on his performance this year.
Yeah, I think that's a fair comment. I think he's a really underappreciated player throughout the league. Obviously not in our locker room. You know, he's a guy, when you look at our team, he's one of the guys that's, you know, we talk about experience. He's been through this in Detroit. You know, he's been through the grind of the playoffs. The thing with Yuri is, you know, he's a very skilled guy. He's a really intelligent guy. He's quietly a very, very competitive player. And, you know, you've seen it, you know, it gets talked about with the two young guys, with Sean and Johnny playing with them. But, you know, there's a support there that he gives them, but there's also a, you know, there's a demand for performance, and he pushes people. And, you know, he's been obviously a really important player for us, you know, production-wise and statistically and what he's brought, but he's a real quiet leader for us. You know, like I said, he's a real pro. The work that he puts in off the ice, he looks after himself in terms of, you know, in the gym, but he pushes people to get to a different level. And we've seen it there with, you know, we, like I said, we talk about the younger players and, you know, the nights that maybe it hasn't gone the way they've wanted it to go, he's supportive, but then there's also a drive to say, okay, guys, we need more. And you can't, especially at this time of the year, you can't underappreciate what, you know, we don't have a lot of experience of going through these things. Yuri's the one, you know, one of the guys that we have that we lean on to, you know, just even talking to him after game five of you know, the need now just to put everything in the past, and each game is its own animal, and you can't get too high or too low. He's been able to do that, not only on the ice, but you know, off the ice in terms of preparing the guys for each and every game. So he's been really important for us. And I, like I said, from a pure playing standpoint, I don't think he gets the credit he deserves. This guy's he's got a special skill set, real special skill set.
How do you match up against Anaheim?
Oh boy. I don't know. I mean, listen, there's a reason they were the top team in the Western Conference, and you know, they've got experience. You look at through the center of the ice, you know, probably the big difference this year from last year is adding Kessler, and you've got Getzlaff and Kessler. So, listen, we know we've got our hands full here. It's a deep team. You know, their skill, size, there's no weaknesses on the team. So, you know, we'll devise a game plan here to come out and do what we can do. But, you know, no question we're going to be the underdogs in this series, which, you know, has sort of been the way we've been all year. But we know what we're up against. Listen, this is a really, really good team. And, you know, we're going to have to be at our best to give ourselves a chance. But we know we've got a very formidable opponent.
I think being the underdog fits Bob Hartley very well. Oh. Thank you very much. Brad, thanks so much for stopping by. Yes.
Thursday or Friday, Brad?
I don't know. I thought you guys are the TV guy. You guys have all the answers.
Yeah, don't we call the shots here, John?
Okay, you're starting Thursday.
Let us know your preference. We'll put in a good word.
Yeah, later the better.
All right, well, I'll get right on that. Thanks, Brad. Best of luck in the next round.
Thanks, guys.